You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
Hey everyone, it's Chris Webster here from the Archaeology Podcast Network, just jumping in. We're not going to have an episode of Modern Myth this week, but we are running a promo for one of our other shows, and that is Ethnosinology with David Ian Howe. In this episode, David talks about recent news about direwolves that were brought back from extinction. He explains that no direwolves were brought back from extinction, and it's a company basically lying to the public, according to David, for one reason or another. It's a really good episode, and we think you'll enjoy it. So go over and subscribe to Ethnosinology wherever you find podcasts, and enjoy this episode.
Is Colossal Biosciences lying to you? Kind of. We'll dive into it. What I'm about to talk about is all information that I currently understand, my current understanding of this based on the release of this information about direwolves coming out on April 7th, Monday morning when I woke up, and based on the 2020 paper about direwolves that is the leading genetics paper on it that is currently out in print, to our understanding. So this is my understanding of it as of now. This could change. I could be wrong. Yeah, we'll do it that. So that as of now, that's where I'm at with it. And with all that, let's continue. So I woke up the other morning to a bunch of messages about the direwolf stuff that's been all over the news. Then the main headline is that the direwolf has been brought back from extinction. That's a lie. It hasn't. And I'll let me get into why. I don't really know how to structure this other than let me just present you with what happened. And I'll just go through my Instagram stories here that I posted about it. So throw my glasses on. Woke up to tons of messages. So Colossal Biosciences is a company run by Ben Lamb. He is a serial entrepreneur is what that's called. I think that just means like venture capitalist. And there's some venture capital stuff going on. That is besides the point. I think it's a really cool company. This is the company that wants to de-extinct the mammoth, that's working on putting, you know, hair genes into an Asian elephant to make it look like a mammoth. Now, does that bring back the mammoth, or is that just giving an Asian elephant that's alive, a living creature that's not extinct, traits of its extinct cousin? You know, that's, I guess, as the guy points out on his Rogan interview, that's a philosophical debate. I have a stance on that debate. I would say no, but they're calling it functional de-extinction, and we'll get into that. But anyway, I woke up to dozens of messages about this. It's not a dire wolf. It's just a big wolf market of this one, is how I phrase this. And just like the mammoth, they are going to make, it's just going to be an Asian elephant with fur. Science headlines are usually misleading when you see these. And it's all over the news. It was on ABC News. I've seen it on everything. Every page I follow has shared this, even meme pages. And the media push for this thing has been, for lack of a better word, insane. They have so much money. It's crazy. And they've reached out to influencers and asked them to do it. There's people that have been posting about it that I even asked, like, no, I'm not being paid for this. And I was like, oh shit. All right. So like, they just have this much like fervor behind them. Anyway, it's a whole thing. But my point with this was, when it's Colossal share stuff, like, be sure to read it, because they're not bringing back them. They're not Jurassic Parking a mammoth. They're not taking the DNA out of like a mosquito encased in amber and reanimating a mammoth like they did in Jurassic Park. And even in Jurassic Park, there's some gene splicing going on with, you know, the frog DNA, and that was the whole point of the movie. That's not what they're doing. This is functional de-extinction, and I'll get into this, but it's basically a Colossal brand direwolf, which is just a wolf with a big head, and we'll call it that. So I said here, I absolutely don't want to be that guy. I hate being that guy who's like, actually. But here's the gist of this. Direwolves, Anocyron dyrus, are an extinct species of canid that is separated from wolves by several million years. I think up to like 5.5 million years. That's a long time. They are not related to proper wolves at all. What this company did was just gene edit modern domestic wolves to be bigger. That's pretty much it. Using DNA that they sequenced from, they claim to have the whole genome of the direwolf sequenced, but I haven't seen that data yet. and they are marketing desirables for clicks and engagement is what I would say. And they assume most people, some people messaged me and didn't even know direwolves were real. They were like, wait, they were real? And like, yes, they were, just not the Game of Thrones kind. And so they're hoping most people didn't know that. And it's just like, we brought a velociraptor back from extinction is what they're thinking. And I'll get more into this. They're doing it for clicks and engagement. I think most people don't know that. And they're thinking that the Game of Thrones direwolves were just, you know, that's what people are going to think, which in Game of Thrones, direwolves were just wolves that were bigger and like mythical that lived beyond the wall. I'm not trying to disparage the company in any way. I think the company is really cool. I think they're functional de-extinction of however that's the word you want to use for this, but they cloned red wolves. Red wolves are extremely endangered and they cloned one and they're lobbying to put it back into the wild, which is really cool. Lead with that story. Don't like just outright lie about de-extincting a direwolf. So I'm not trying to disparage the company. And am I a little bitter they didn't reach out to me and ask me to like be a mouthpiece for them? Sure, monetarily. But had they asked me to like report on this direwolf thing and be like, direwolves are back from extinction, and I had to read that script, I would have said, fuck no, because that's a lie. Anyway, I think what they're doing is pretty cool if done correctly, especially towards conserving living species that are going extinct, like the red wolf. But this is one of those things that makes science education so difficult because people will share this stuff all over the place and don't know what they're talking about. The headline's misleading, and it's not even the headline. The headline would be like if ABC News shared this and you misinterpreted it, right? Or if Fox News or CNN shared this, or New Scientist or Ground News shared it. Ground News is the only one, by the way, I'm not sponsored by Ground News. Ground News is the only news source I've seen report on this accurately as of today. This is the day after. This is Tuesday, the 8th. So anyway, I just went on a side. What happened here is the company itself that did this research that's promoting this lied in its captions. And I called them out and they responded to me and they basically said like, yeah, it's not what we're saying, but it's 100% what they said. I'll read that in a second. But the reason this is fascinating to me is because whenever I see something from, let's see, like astronomy about Mars or about the ocean or about climate change or about, yeah, let's say marine biology or something to do with orcas, I always have to sit and wonder, is that what's going on? Is that really like what they're trying to report on? Or is some scientist, a marine biologist screaming in a lab being like, that's not what I said, or that's not the accurate way to present this. That's the hard thing about this. And in this case, people follow me to talk about wolves and dogs in anthropology, and direwolves kind of fall right in there, especially with the people in the Americas. And I'll be the first to tell you this is horseshit. So it gets wild and people share this stuff all over the news. And then like Forrest Galante is like, listen to this. So they didn't de-extinct a direwolf. And when I say they didn't do that, and then they're paying people to parrot that as a mouthpiece here, look at this.
For the first time in over 10,000 years, direwolves are alive and walking the earth again. I know how insane that sounds, but Colossal Biosciences has used ancient DNA and groundbreaking gene editing to bring back the first ever de-extinct animal.
Now that's Forrest Galante, who's known to be full of shit. He thinks Tasmanian tigers are still alive. He thinks they're in Papua New Guinea. Whenever there's like a sighting of possible Tasmanian tigers, he always shares it and jumps on it. And I think he lost his scientific integrity a while ago, according to most people. I will say, however, I do enjoy the way he speaks, not in that video, but I do like he's a scientist. He goes out on these cool excursions. Like he does great stuff for science and he gets people interested in it. And I don't remember what it was, but I called him out on Instagram a year or two ago for just lying. And he responded and pinned the comment. And he didn't, he was lying. There was just something inaccurate about it. And I was like, that's not what happened. And he shared it and pinned it. So take with that what you will. I respect that. He gets a vote in my book, but I know most people hate him. So Forrest, if you're listening to this, congrats on that. Let's see. So then I shared this, the guy, Ben Lamb, who is the venture capitalist. I'm sorry. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I forget how they phrase it. He's a serial investor or serial capitalist, something like that. He went on Rogan, and of course, Rogan's like, wow, man, you de-extincted a direwolf, man. That's crazy. And Rogan goes, that's one of the craziest things humans have ever done in the history of humanity. Wow, man. Wow. And like Rogan, people hate on Rogan. And you know my stance on this if you watch the Flint Dibble debate. Like, I think there's three levels of Rogan hate. I will say I'm a little biased because there's a possibility that I almost did his show a little while ago. I'd still like to do it at some point, so I'm not going to sit here and be like, fuck you, Joe. But there's three levels of hate. I used to hate him because I read on Reddit and I read from other liberal friends to hate Rogan, so I wouldn't watch him. And then I watched the Hancock debates and I was like, okay, this isn't terrible. Hancock sucks, but like Rogan's not the worst. And then I listened to some Rogan, and when he has comedians on that I like, I didn't even know he had a podcast really until then. This was like 2020. When he has comedians on that I like, and I like comedy, I do comedy, like I enjoy watching him for that. That's fine. When he starts talking about trans, you know, stuff, or he's parroting shit about Wolf Reintroduction that's wrong, or he's outright shitting an archaeologist, I tune out. Now I have the ability as a listener to tune that out because I know it's wrong and he's just pontificating, and he's a man that has opinions just like me in a podcast. Sometimes I say things that are, I might want to walk it back, or I might tell the editor to cut it out, or I might even cut it out myself. Rogan, he might do that too. But I think for the most part just says stuff. And when you have 30, however million people listening to each episode, you're going to say stuff that people don't agree with. And then everyone's like, I can't believe he still has a platform. It's like, well, yeah, he has a platform. He's just a dude that talks. And like, I'm sorry you didn't, you know, become a dude that talks that's that successful at it. And obviously he had money to throw at it and had Fear Factor money. And I don't mean to get on this whole thing, but where I'm going with this is he's going to say stuff that you disagree with. I disagree with stuff that he says all the time, but I'm able to separate that. I'm able to be like, shut up, Joe. Like, you know, but I want to hear him talk to Quentin Tarantino because I enjoy Quentin Tarantino. Then there's the level of Rogan hate that's like, you've never heard, you've been told to hate him, right? And then you hate him. Then there's listening to him and hating him, kind of where I'm at. And I shouldn't say I hate him, but like, I think he should be a little more better. And when I say that, I hate when people tell me to do better. I don't think doubling down on some things make him look any better or help his cause. And he's pissed off other comedians and other like science people. He's not a science person. And he says that, but then that leads to the third thing. He literally says constantly, I'm a moron. And that's the word he uses. I wouldn't call him moron. I think he's quite an intelligent dude. I also did martial arts forever. He's just misinformed a lot. And for example, when he had the archaeologists on, he had Flint Dibble debating Hancock. Hancock and him went at it. Hancock got a smackdown of a lifetime from Flint. And then the next episode that Hancock was on, they didn't have Flint back on. And Hancock just told Rogan, well, Flint lied about everything. And he was like, really? Wow. That sucks. And now every episode since, he's like, all archaeologists lie. That's stupid. That's moronic. I don't like that. So in that case, fuck him. But in this case, he had this guy on. And I said there's three levels of Rogan hate. You know what I'm talking about. I went on the whole thing about Rogan. It's been like 10 minutes. You know what? We're going to get back to the direwolf thing, but I'm just going to cut right here. Let's go to a commercial break. And we're back. So Rogan had the direwolf guy on, and in multiple instances, they talked about archaeology, and I don't want to get bogged down into this, but he talked about how the guy went to the Museum of Natural History, this colossal biosciences guy who's not an archaeologist, not a biologist. He's a capitalist, right? Or like a serial investor, whatever you want to call him, a CEO, tech guy, billionaire. We'll go with billionaire. He was like, yeah, they just have all this stuff down beneath the building that like they don't show to the public. It's crazy. And Rogan was like, really? Wow. And like, that's just how basic archaeology is. You can't show all that to people. And I think the guy understood that. But to get into the marketing thing of this company, the guy knew exactly what to say to Rogan. He mentioned something about aliens building the pyramids. He mentioned stuff. He leaned into the anti-academia bias. He even talked about how academia is pretty dogmatic and they're stuck in these ways and they don't want to lose funding, which I agree with. I think, and I'll be the first to say this of any of my friends who work for universities or, you know, work for other archaeological companies and stuff. I work for myself. I guess technically I work for this podcast network thing, but, you know, they're not academics anymore either. I say what I want. I don't have to worry about being like defunded by somebody. So like, whatever. I think academics can be a little less up their ass about stuff. I think some academics hold on to their ideas a little longer than they should, a little harder, and go out of their way to prove other people wrong. Some of them are good friends of mine. Some of them I don't know. Most of them I don't know, I should say. Most archaeologists. I think that is correct. However, to like write off all archaeologists and academics as that on a huge podcast with that many people obviously is wrong. But again, just like I said, there's so many people that listen to it. You can't police every single thing you say when you talk for 3 hours a day, you know, and should his whole podcast be taken down because he said a few wrong things about vaccines and he said a few wrong things about archaeology? No, because he's probably said a few wrong things about martial arts or, you know, athletic greens too. He just probably says wrong shit all the time. So you can't just like take that down. Anyway, long story short, the guy's leaned into Rogan's anti-academia bias and gained trust with him and was talking to him. And they start talking about that. And he's like, I can't believe like we just found a Tasmanian tiger head beneath the basement and they didn't know about it. And Rogan was like, wow, man, really? And they used that Tasmanian tiger head to extract DNA from it. And a big thing that this company is doing is the thylacine de-extinction, which I'm all cool with. The thylacine is something that, yes, the dingo did, and this is not talked about. I think humans entering Australia with the dingo, I'm pretty pro, not overkill, but I'm pretty pro humans played a giant role in it. Because when humans roll into Australia, roll into Madagascar, New Zealand, North America, Siberia, other small islands, all the animals magically go extinct. And everyone's like, well, it's climate change. Well, yeah, it's that too, but humans don't help. And to ignore that, I think is a little dogmatic. But to only think that humans are responsible is also dogmatic, is where I stand on that, if that makes sense. So another thing too, he's leaning into that. Oh, right, the Tasmanian tiger. Humans and domestic dogs, which then became dingoes, arriving in Australia, get to a continent where there's no endemic canids. There's no endemic mammals that hunt on the thing, just marsupials, which are smaller at the time that thylacines were at their peak. There were giant kangaroos and giant like wombat, just giant wombat the size of a Volkswagen, which is pretty cool. Anyway, all this to say, dingoes did help push thylacines towards extinction because their dingo is a wolf, a domestic wolf that reverted back to the wild, which is a whole other episode I could do. And this is a whole indigenous versus colonist debate. And then like, do we believe the indigenous thought versus, you know, the archaeological thought that's overwhelming? I don't know. that's not for me to say. And again, I don't want to lose funding that I don't have. The thylacine got pushed out and its population was already declining, but then when the Australian government, once it was colonized by Europeans, put a bounty on the head of thylacines and to kill them all, that drove them to extinction. So in that case, I don't think it's playing God to bring back a thylacine, at least to like have it in captivity somewhere where it, you know, and all these people are like, well, it's living in captivity. Like it's not in the wild. That's torture. It's like, okay, if you're going to complain about that, this company has the fuck you money to hire you to personally babysit that thing and do exactly what you want and say that it needs to have done. And I think that's pretty cool. The guy kind of set that on Rogan. The direwolves that are in the sanctuary are like completely taken care of super well. And I see a lot of like rage tweeting. I don't have Twitter, but like rage commenting on Instagram being like, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. People, you can say all these things in practice, but like this company could literally be like, well, you want to work for us? Like, let's put your money where your mouth is, which is kind of cool. And again, I support the company. I should say, I don't want to disparage the company in like, it shouldn't exist, take it down, like whatever you do to a company, cancel it, boycott, I don't know what you do to a company. I think this company is cool. I just think they lied about this. And let me get to why. But functionally de-extincting the thylacine, I think, is cool. And in this case, I think they can just straight up clone a thylacine. We don't have a preserved direwolf to like take its DNA fully and clone it. I'm not a geneticist. This was the Rogan thing. And oh, great. They talked about the Boneyard Alaska guy. And they said that this Boneyard Alaska, if you don't know the Boneyard Alaska guy, John Reeves is his name. He's a grifter. I'll say that. He has this giant property in Alaska where they excavate, quote unquote, which means they just take a giant hose and like dredge and spray down permafrost to find tons of mammoths. There's a full extinct Pleistocene horse, like frozen with flesh on it still. That they show pictures of tons of stuff, and he blasts through it and he claims that there's stone tools there, but he won't work with archaeologists because something happened to his father or grandfather where the AMNH had American Museum of Natural History in New York had a bunch of their specimens and then dumped them in the East River, apparently. And now, apparently this is true, according to him and on his Rogan episode. I haven't confirmed this with the AMNH, and I used to work there as an intern, I should say. Haven't confirmed that, and I just think it's, again, they don't know how basic curation works. Like, you don't need to have all of those things, and sometimes things get deaccessioned. And, you know, this was, like, decades ago, like pre-civil rights. You're going to get mad at something that happened, like, you know, then pre-World War II or whatever. It's a long time ago. And because of that, that's a whole other topic. We can get into that. The university probably, or the museum should have just given the bones back, I guess. I wouldn't have dumped them in the East River, but like, I think he had signed them away and it was like, you know, the museum could do whatever they want with them. Anyway, because of that, he won't work with archaeologists ever again, or paleontologists. And I've hit that guy up a million times and he's like, yeah, well, you know, I asked him, can I come to the site? And so he's like, well, I don't really work with archaeologists anymore because of what happened. And he's like, see my Rogan episode next year when I'm on there to learn more about it. And he went on Rogan to talk about it. And the whole episode, he's like building up to like why he hates archaeologists. And like, he wants to cause a quote bone rush where they dumped all the stuff into the East River. And he wants people to go scuba dive and find it. Like, no one has the money to do that, dude. Especially if you live in New York City, some layman looking for bones, maybe rich people do. But anyway, Rogan, the whole episode built up to him saying that, and Rogan like didn't seem to care, which I found very funny. Long story short, I've asked this dude, hey, I used to work there. I know how it works. I'm an archaeologist. I know how excavation works. I've dug up mammoths. I've done all this stuff. Let me come take a look at it. I'll interview you. Like, I just want to see the property. And he's always said, no, I don't work with archaeologists. Just watch my Rogan episode. And then, of course, they sell part of the mammoth bones. They sell like bone teeth. They sell shark teeth. They sell ivory. I'm sorry, they don't sell shark teeth. They sell ivory fragments and things. He's a grifter. And he goes on Rogan to say this and he lies. And if you're listening to this, you are. Sorry, John. And he blocked me on Instagram because I said, hey, I don't work with the university, so you can't hit me for that. I worked at the museum. I know people there. I can talk to them and get your stuff back, blah, blah, blah. And after I called out every single thing he said, and I told him, you know, I'm not that. I'm not the person you hate. I just want to come take a look at it. He blocked me because I can actually take a look at it and see it and see that he's just lying, that this stuff is there. But the main thing is he's blasting through potential cultural sites. And in Alaska, in a place like that, right where, you know, it's a huge pivotal place in the peopling of the Americas, even Graham Hancock should be squirming at like the amount of shit he just blasts through and like ruining cultural sites. And I don't think Rogan knows that. And I'm going on the whole Rogan topic here. But for people that are, I advertise this on my Instagram to come listen to this episode about the direwolf stuff. This is all important towards it. This guy knew, the Ben Lamb guy, knows how to, he's listened to that. He talked, oh, right. He said he went to the Boneyard Alaska guy's house and he's super collaborative and he's open to collaboration. And no, he blocked me when I was open to collaboration with him because I don't have money to throw at it. This guy has billions of dollars. Of course he's going to be friends with you, dude. Come on. There's all that. And that kind of just lost, you know, credibility with me. And then what he does have credibility with is he goes into speciation on Rogan's podcast. And he says that scientists can't agree on what species is. And I agree with that. And I think most scientists would agree. We don't agree on what species is because Darwin wrote a whole book about it. What is it? On the origin of it. What is it? Aristotle really had no idea what it was either when he would classify everything. Linnaeus too. What is a species? And is a species something that you can create viable offspring? Like, can you interbreed and create viable offspring? Like a dog and a dog having a puppy makes a dog that can make more dogs. Is that species? But you can also have a coyote and a dog interbreed and reproduce. So they're the same species. I would say so. Yes. People would disagree with me. And he presented that to Rogan as a way, and I'll get more into speciation here, as a way to explain away how they're able to claim that they de-extincted the direwolf. And what they did was take direwolf DNA from fossils, isolate genes and apparently replicate the entire gene or sequence the entire genome. I haven't seen this data. Sequence the entire genome, isolate parts of dire wolves that are more dire wolf traits than wolf traits, and then accentuate those traits, find them in wolves and accentuate them. So they've made a wolf that phenotypically, I mean visually, looks, not genetically, but visually looks like a dire wolf. And that's what they've done. So they've essentially, just like the mammoth, isolated the genes that make the mammoth have that make elephants have hair and made the hair grow more. That's what they did with the elephant, the woolly mammoth mice, the woolly mice they showed a few weeks ago. That's all they're going to do is just accentuate those traits in an Asian elephant to make it look like a mammoth. And the guy's like, well, if it walks like a mammoth and talks like a mammoth and looks like one, wouldn't that be a mammoth? Because we can't really define species. And Rogan was like, wow, man. And then like, that to me is a cop-out. You just accentuated traits in a wolf and are now saying that you de-extincted a dire wolf. That's just a blatant lie. And I called them out and they hit me with it. Let me pull it up. I hate being the guy that comments this stuff on posts, but like, and again, in this case, it's something that like I have knowledge in and people follow me to hear this. So I said this and they posted a thing saying, we brought an animal back from extinction. These two wolves were returned from extinction, quote unquote, using genetic edits derived from a complete direwolf genome, meticulously reconstructed from ancient DNA found in fossils dating back 11,500 and 72,000 years. This achievement is a result of years of pioneering science, tireless innovation, and unwavering dedication. It marks a major milestone not only for our company, but for science, conservation, and humanity. With the birth of Romulus and Remus, de-extinction is no longer a theory, it's reality. There's more work ahead. So they have Romulus, Remus, and now Khaleesi is the female who was just born. Put a pin in Khaleesi. I said, you didn't though. Wolves and direwolves are distantly related by millions of years. You genetically modified some wolves with direwolf genes to have more robust traits. That's not extinction, nor remotely even bringing it back. Why not just say that? That's cooler. And that is a little aggressive of me, but I just genuinely want to know, like, why are you saying this? And it's Colossal responded to me. We call it a direwolf because it's derived from ancient direwolf DNA. It's part of functional de-extinction, the creation of organisms that resemble and are genetically similar to extinct species with engineered traits to help them thrive in the modern world. So they lied. I said, I get it. But say that when you share it all over social media and pay people to parrot the misleading headline. They didn't respond to me on that one. That's fair. I mean, they got a million things to respond to today. They created things with, not misquote it. We call it a direwolf. So again, this identifies as a direwolf because it's derived from ancient direwolf DNA. It's part of functional de-extinction, the creation of organisms that resemble and are genetically similar to extinct species. That's not de-extincting something. And that got shared everywhere. And everyone's like, oh my God, direwolves are back. They brought it back. They brought dinosaurs back. Like, oh my God, Jurassic Park's going to happen next. And like, that's all the comments and stuff. And that's the goal of what they're doing. That's why this guy is on Rogan. That's why they're paying all these influencers to talk about it. It's like, they're trying to get funding, I think. They know what they're doing. It's just so, and someone was like, dude, why are you getting so bent out of shape? Like, headlines are headlines. It's not the actual science. I'm like, no, but if ABC or Fox shared it and got the headline was all like, you know, sensationalized and the science was misconstrued, that's one thing. But the company doing the science still hasn't released the data on this and claims that they have new data that we don't know about that they found from this. Haven't released that yet and are now saying we de-extincted something in their caption. That's a lie. And then they just responded to me and saying like, yeah, it's a lie, but here's what we actually did. What the hell? That's so weird. So I don't know. And he's on Rogan talking about species, and I can get into species. Someone said like, you need to explain more what a direwolf is for me to believe you, why it's not a direwolf. And let me bring this up. This is from Angela Perry et al. Direwolves were the last of an ancient New World canid lineage. This is from 2020. Let me read the abstract. Actually, you know what? Before I do this, let's take a quick commercial break and I'll be right back. And we're back. And here's me talking about the 2020 direwolf paper that my understanding of direwolves as a separate species from wolves, this is where it comes from. Direwolves are considered to be one of the most common and widespread large carnivores in places in North America, yet relatively little is known about their evolution or extinction. Here, to reconstruct the evolutionary history of direwolves, we sequenced five genomes from subfossil remains dating from 13,000 to more than 50,000 years ago. Our results indicate that although they were similar morphologically to the extant gray wolf, direwolves were a highly divergent lineage that split from living canids around 5.7 million years ago. In contrast to numerous examples of hybridization across Canidae, which, you know, wolves, coyotes, dingoes, all interbreeding, there is no evidence for gene flow between dire wolves and either North American gray wolves or coyotes. This suggests that dire wolves were evolved in isolation from the Pleistocene ancestors of these species. Our results also support an early New World origin of dire wolves, while the ancestors of gray wolves, coyotes, and dholes evolved in Eurasia and colonized North America only relatively recently. So a couple of things there. Dire wolf skeletons, if you go to La Brea, the tar pits, like the most common thing you find at the La Brea tar pits are dire wolves. They look just like wolves. They look exactly like wolf skeletons. For decades, people thought, okay, they're just another species of wolf. They're a big wolf. This paper actually genetically sequenced them and found out they're actually distant related by 5.5 million years. It's just a case of convergent evolution where they look similar. If you look at a thylacine or a Tasmanian tiger skeleton, it looks just like a wolf. Smaller, but it looks like one because that's convergent evolution. They evolved to fill the similar niches. Now, this paper says that they diverged 5.7 million years ago. That means they're not the same species whatsoever. They're in their own genus and they present it with its own genus name, Anocyron, A-E-N-C-Y-O-N, Aeoncyon. Anocyron deerus. I don't know how you say that perfectly. It used to be Canis deerus, right? Now it's Anocyron deerus, which is the dire wolf. It's not Canis. It's not in its own species. And I talked about this too. There was a whole article in all over viral Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook. People sent it to me that a fox, the first ever fox and dog or fox and wolf hybrid was found in South America. Now, South America, the canids evolved in the Americas. Early canids. Wolves, like this paper says, might have like later on evolved in Eurasia proper and then migrated back to the Americas. But like canids themselves are from the Americas. That's where they evolved, just like horses. And that's why there's so much diversity of canids in South America with the foxes and the maned wolf, not the bear dog. I think that's Japanese, but something similar that looks like raccoon dog, I think is... One of them lives in South America. Anyway, the fox hybrid that came out, it has the name like, you know, AI overview. The first documented dog-fox hybrid nicknamed Doxim, a portmanteau of dog and Graxim do Campo. Okay, something of the country. The Portuguese name for the Pampas fox. Okay, was discovered in Brazil in 2021. The scientists confirmed it was a hybrid of the Pampas fox and domestic dog. Now, the problem here is Pampas fox is the word. The Pampas fox, when I actually looked into this, isn't a fox at all. It's a canid. Foxes are in vulpes. They're in their own subfamily of canids called caninae. And that's like foxes and the South American looking dogs that are all over the place. South American looking canids, excuse me. The problem is English, and it seems Portuguese and Spanish only have, in English we have fox, they have zorro in Spanish. And then in Portuguese, it's Graxim. Graxim. I don't know. I've actually never heard the word fox in Portuguese till right now. Graxim. So, like, we call African wild dogs dogs. They're not dogs at all. They're not. And my aunt is a vet, and she was like, "Yeah, but there's wild dogs in Africa." And I'm like, "No, but they're not dogs. It's its own thing. They just look like dogs. Have dog snouts in comparison to cats or bears. They're not dogs in the domestic dog sense. A domestic dog is a wolf adapted to life among Homo sapiens. That's the word I always go with, the safe word, the safe definition. This fox thing is called the Pampas fox, but it's not a fox proper. It's not in vulpes. It's a canid, closer related to dogs and wolves and coyotes than it is to foxes. In fact, you are more related to a chimpanzee or a bonobo than your domestic dog is to a fox. So until you can prove to me that you can bang a chimpanzee or bonobo and have viable offspring or the pregnancy carries to term, this isn't real, right? And it's just a naming issue is the main thing. And the naming issue, of course, leads into speciation, like what is species? And again, I would argue that dogs, Canis lupus familiaris, are a subspecies of the wolf. Canis lupus is the wolf, hands down. The gray wolf, we know that. And there's timber wolves, red wolves, gray wolves, Mexican wolves. They're all variations of the same wolf, right? And then among that are coyotes, which people would normally classify as their own species. However, they can interbreed and create viable offspring with dogs and wolves. So therefore, they're the same species. There's just a different subspecies. And I think coyotes themselves are in their own very distinct niche. They're smaller, they scavenge more, they do hunt deer, they hunt birds and chickens and things like that. But they have more of their own classical, like what you can understand is their own species niche. But they're still wolves, just like dogs are, just like coyotes, or just like dingoes. Dingoes are domestic dogs that reverted back to a primitive, I shouldn't say primitive, reverted back to a feral wolf state. They're no longer domestic. And they had an entire continent full of kangaroos to eat. And we're like, oh my God, that's what the dingo is. And then there's a whole thing like, you know, are dingoes invasive because they were brought by people? Well, are people invasive in Australia then? Because they are Aboriginal people, excuse me, invasive. Are they not indigenous then if they were brought with a dingo? You know, it's a whole sticky issue. Naming things is complicated. So what this guy's trying to say here on Rogan, and I've seen in a lot of the, you know, popular media of this, and there's a Wired article, which I have pulled up here. I'll talk about that in a second. He's getting into the whole like, well, scientists can't really agree on species. And therefore, if this thing is genetically modified to look and act like a direwolf, then it's a direwolf to me. That's what they're saying. And of course, he has invested in George R. R. Martin invested in this company. It's got billionaire backers and stuff. Of course, George R. R. Martin invested. Like, I don't blame him. He wants to see the direwolf reanimated and he has fuck you money. But they have all this stuff riding on it. And let me get to the nefarious reasons behind this stuff too. But he's just basically saying like, you know, if I say it's a mammoth, it's a mammoth. And the thing they told me in that response was basically like, yeah, it's not actually de-extincting something, but we're calling it a direwolf because we say it is. That's really odd to me and wrong. And they're using the whole scientists can't agree on speciation or what is species. So why can't we just claim that this is a species too? And I will say this too, this is where people probably disagree with me. He's not wrong. Because if I claim species isn't understood, it's still something that's like vague and it's just a, you know, social construct like sex or gender that we apply to something. It's an observable thing, but we can't fully define what it is. And it's just a word we attribute to a spectrum, you know, sexuality or race, I should say, more than gender. Like race is just like, how much more black is your black neighbor than like my black neighbor, right? How much more white am I than like my white neighbor? How much more black am I than my white neighbor? You know, there's probably ways to test that with 23andMe, but like race is and I'm getting touchy here. It's something we apply to it. And then there's like Pacific Islander, and then people might consider Jews their own race. People might consider Arabs its own race. They might consider, I don't know if Koreans or Chinese differentiate themselves as different races, but like among Asian people, there's Koreans, there's Chinese, there's Japanese, there's Laotians, there's Vietnamese. Like race is just a spectrum. And then someone like a Mexican who is probably 60, well, let's just say on average 61% native, and then 61% or another 49% European. Are they European? Are they Mexican or are they Native American? Like what do you describe them as? And now somebody who's Native American in North America that is like 70% white would still be called a Native American if they claim to be. But in Mexico, or to us, we would just consider them Mexican because they're, you know, half indigenous, half white, and they're not a Native American. But it's just, again, it's words we ascribe to things is where I'm going with this, right? So this guy's using that argument to be like, well, you know, what is species? It's a direwolf because we say it is. And he's not wrong based on my definition of species. So props to him for using that as a marketing tool to sell this. Now, let me read the Wired article real quick. I summarized it. In a recent article, it was reported that Colossal Biosciences, a biotechnology startup, has claimed success in creating animals that, this is the whole Wired article summarized. Success in creating animals with traits resembling the extinct direwolf by genetically editing gray wolves. Instead of cloning from preserved DNA, Colossal utilized advanced gene editing to replicate specific direwolf characteristics such as large body size, distinct fur texture, and unique skull morphology. The resulting animals, named Romulus, Remus, and Khaleesi, underwent 20 genetic modifications across 14 genes, while maintaining genomes nearly identical to gray wolves. This development has sparked debate over whether these creatures can be considered true direwolves or merely genetically altered gray wolves. I would agree. Colossal's approach was informed by ancient DNA extracted from direwolf fossils, providing new insights into their evolutionary history. The company aims to further refine the direwolf genome and is also applying its gene editing techniques to conservation efforts. Notably, they have cloned four genetically diverse red wolves, a critically endangered species in the U.S., to enhance captive breeding and reintroduction programs. While there are no current plans to reintroduce the engineered direwolves into the wild, Colossal intends to use them to raise awareness about predator conservation. Additionally, their novel cloning method, which utilizes blood-derived cells instead of tissue biopsies, offers a less invasive and more scalable approach to biodiversity preservation amid the ongoing global extinction crisis. So that's the Wired article. And the Wired article was like, why is it a dire wolf? Why is it not just a genetically modified wolf? And let me pull up the article. He says in here, Beth Shapiro was one of the researchers on the direwolf paper in 2020. Apparently, there's a new one coming out, according to this article, which is the first I'm hearing it. But a large kingdom, she is saying, Shapiro, too, says that the edits are significant enough to call the new animal direwolves. If, quote, if we can look at this animal and see what it's doing, and it looks like a direwolf and acts like a direwolf, I'm going to call it a direwolf. And my colleagues who are taxonomists will disagree with me. I'm not her colleague directly, but I disagree with her on that. Direwolves are, and again, I would say this is a genetically modified wolf, not a direwolf, in the way they're trying to sell it. Direwolves, we don't know much about them. They look so similar to wolves, they just assumed it was a variation of wolf. We do know from the La Brea tar pits, they were in the La Brea tar pits frequently. They were the most common things found there. They were probably scavenging animals that were already stuck in the tar, screaming, like trumpeting, because they wanted the baby mammoth wanted its mom. And the mom got stuck, and then direwolves came and started eating them. And then they got stuck. Brutal situation. Really sad. We know from the La Brea tar pits that they have a lot of broken baculums, which is a dick bone, which means they were probably, while, you know, mating, another male wolf or maybe another female wolf, direwolf, excuse me, got aggressive with them and fought them off. Or maybe like the female fought them off that, you know, they were mating with. Maybe another male attacked the one that was, it was sexual competition, or there was like violence during sexual intercourse, right? Their baculums are broken. So we know that behavior based on a lot of broken baculums, which is awful to hear for men listening and maybe some women, but that sucks. We know that about them. We know they definitely preferred the lowlands. The reason I think direwolves died out and not wolves proper is because direwolves were more adapted to lowlands and like valleys and plains where they hunted bison, antiquus, and mammoth. Wolves proper, gray wolves, were more adaptable to higher altitudes and more alpine conditions, more wet conditions, things like that. It's why they outlasted them. They're more, I want to say elastic, but like tenacious, if that makes sense. Direwolves went extinct. They had a different niche. They hunted different things. So to say that, you know, if it acts like a direwolf and looks like a direwolf and behaves like one, it's a direwolf. We don't know what they acted and behaved like. It's very similar to wolves in that sense. So it's brilliant marketing on this company to be like, you know, we don't really know. So therefore it is a direwolf because it looks like one and acts like one. And to the layman watching this, they're like, that's awesome. They reanimated direwolves. But like to me and like anyone else and like probably more of the basic understanding of genes, biology or anthropology, archaeology and human evolution or evolution in general might look at this and be like, no, that's not. And I think they're hoping for that. And I'll get to the money aspect behind this in a second. Let me first talk about speciation real quick, because I did write this down. We can't really agree on speciation, what it means. Speciation's cladogenesis is the actual like scientific word, though speciation, I guess, is a scientific word. There's multiple kinds of speciation, and this will get confusing for some people. Allopatric speciation is the one that makes the most sense. Allopatric speciation is geographic isolation, which would be like chimps and bonobos. The Congo River splits chimps and bonobos in half geographically. So bonobos, like they had a common ancestor, clearly, that was the same, you know, chimp that evolved then into bonobos and chimpanzees, which clearly, when you see them, look different, but mostly behave very different. They do look similar compared to a gorilla or an orangutan for sure. But they look and behave differently. Chimpanzees are a lot more aggressive. Bonobos are a lot more sexual, a lot more social. And they have sexual mechanisms to diffuse tension. Like genital rubbing is like something that they do a lot. Like they run up to each other and like rub, bump each other with their genitals to like say, it's all good, man. Like it's just interesting where chimpanzees will fight each other and rip each other apart. Chimpanzees also like to hunt and eat red monkey. red colobus monkey, though bonobos do that sometimes too, apparently. Anyway, parapatric speciation is another one, which is geographically contiguous, but hybrids have reduced fitness. So the example I have written here from school is like Hamadryas baboons. They could be the same species as other baboons, but like they're separated and they might just be hybrids that have reduced fitness. So I can't think of an example in human evolution to describe. I'm getting into the weeds, but that's parapatric. You can look these up. Sympatric speciation is another one. This is the same place. The species exist in the same place, but occupy different niches. So this is kind of like coyotes to me. Groups fight and have to do different things. Diet affects reproduction. A single species of monkey occupying the same forest. One population might be stuck on the forest floor, but only ripen fruit. But the only fruit they can eat is ripe in the spring. Reproduction is based off when resources are fruitful. And then groups in the trees have reproductive access to fruit all year round, but can't reproduce with the ones that are on the floor. This creates a species. So that's a difficult example, and I didn't fully prepare that. But the same species, but they eat different things in the forest floor versus in the tree canopy. Over, you know, thousands of years, that's going to split them. Like separated wise, it's the same species, but they split because of resources that are available, but they're in the same spot as opposed to being split in half by the Congo River, like the chimpanzee and bonobo. Then lastly, hybrid speciation. Interspecific hybrids form a new species. Maybe this is how modern humans originated. And I use direwolves as an example here. Direwolves couldn't adapt to the changing climate. Wolves are more adaptable. Direwolves like the plains and lowlands. Direwolves lived more in Florida, Texas, and Southern California, not higher latitudes. So hybrid speciation, meaning like humans and Neanderthals obviously created hybrids. Some of them were mules. They couldn't reproduce and were sterile. That's why we only have a certain genetic line of Neanderthals. Other ones could interbreed. So either if it was I can't remember this, I'm misquoting. Someone can put it in the comments, but it's common. I've talked about this before. It seems that some combination, either a human male and a female Neanderthal, or a human female and a male Neanderthal, whichever one, couldn't make viable offspring, but one could, for whatever reason, with alleles and how genetic Punnett square stuff works. Sometimes the species were so separated in time and space that they couldn't make viable offspring, much like a donkey and a horse doing it makes a mule, which can't interbreed. It's sterile. So that happened with humans too. It's part of one of the going theories, because we only have mitochondrial DNA from Neanderthals, I'm pretty positive, which would mean it's the mother, male, mother, female Neanderthals. I could be wrong. Put that in the comments if I am incorrect on that. Anyway, I'm getting into the weeds of speciation. That is why it's so difficult to explain, like, what is species? And then like this company is now saying like, well, we created a species that fits these categories that we would say are direwolf, so therefore it looks and acts and is a direwolf. And now they're saying that they functionally, well, that's the problem. They're saying that they de-extincted, they brought it back from extinction. That's the media push they've been putting out. That's what everyone has been saying. That's what ABC News was saying. And my dad was like, well, you know, it was on ABC News. They showed the gene splitting. I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't mean it's right. ABC News isn't, you know, the paragon of truth, just like any other news source is. So no offense to your dad. I'm just using an example. I talked to him later about it. It's interesting, and they're doing this whole media push, and they have all these people saying this, and it's all over the place. And I then, you know, I was talking to some people on Instagram, and someone had pointed out, let me read this, and I don't want to get conspiratorial, right? I don't, but this is just a fact. Well, first, here's this. No matter how the resulting woolly baby might look like, this is referring to mammoths, Colossal admits, this is the Time article, Colossal admits that in some respects it will be a mammoth in name only. They're elephant surrogates that have some mammoth DNA to make them recreate core characteristics belonging to mammoths, says Shapiro. So Beth Shapiro, being the archaeological geneticist on this, I think she's just a geneticist, is saying that, which that's correct. Though in the later article, the Wired one, she's saying that it's not. And apparently there's some new direwolf genome paper that's coming out that I haven't seen yet. It's not out yet. And she's quoting in this article as like, well, this is why we're right. But I haven't seen that. The public hasn't seen that yet. And then Colossal's like, based on this, you know, the study we did here, and like after breeding these things, here's what we found, and we're about to publish that. So they're pushing this all before that's out, which I find odd, but do what you want to do. It's a private company. So here's the other thing. Mammoth interest. The CIA invests in Dallas-based Colossal Biosciences. And I don't want to be Alex Jones and be like, oh, the CIA's behind it. Oh, rah, rah. But like, this is just true. The Central Intelligence Agency has invested in Colossal through its nonprofit VC investment arm in Qtel, reports The Intercept, named in honor of Q, the tech genius from James Bond novels and movies. The VC confirms it was founded in 1999 to keep the U.S. intelligence agency on the cutting edge of innovative and impactful technologies coming out of Silicon Valley and beyond. So why Colossal? Strategically, it's less about the mammoths and more about the capability, in Qtel says. The CIA, meanwhile, is less interested in thundering mammoths and roaring thylacines than it is in the underlying genetic engineering technology that Colossal intends to develop. According to Live Science, in September, Joe Biden, I don't know if this was this past September or before that, this might have been in 2022, Joe Biden signed an executive order to advance biotechnology towards innovative solutions in health, climate change, and economic security. So, not to get conspiratorial, but there's a national security interest behind this now, too. It's backed by the CIA. And again, I'm not going to shit on the company and say this is a bad company. Cancel them, boycott them. I think what they're doing is cool. But preserving species like the red wolf that are going extinct using this technology is amazing. I want to fund that. I would happily, if they asked me to like say that for them, I would. I'm not going to lie and say the dire wolf's brought back from extinction. I'll say no. You know, like if they asked me to say that, I would. I'm not going to say something about the, I'm not going to lie and say the dire wolf's brought back from extinction. That would be lying and I would lose my integrity more than I already have since I'm not in academia. But there's a national security interest in this. And I, again, the company is cool. I support that. And I understand, like, you know, and I worked as a government contractor for a while. Sometimes the government doesn't have the infrastructure and the scientists and the team to do this stuff on their own, nor have they had the money or the resources to do it. So when a private company like this does it, they start to invest and like use, they become a contractor. They are a contractor of the CIA, the government, you know. I understand if you want to beat the Chinese or beat the Russians to genetic stuff and cloning, you're going to invest in this company. And that's fine. I think that's fair. I support that. I'm a patriot. Like, I'd rather us get ahead on this than the other countries. Now, does the media push behind this have something to do with like a CIA psyop? I don't believe so. I think the CIA helps push it. And like central, it's not the CIA, it's just CIA, Central Intelligence Agency. They have, you know, ears on the ground all over the place. It's not, I don't want to get into that. But mainly what I think this is and why did Colossal lie to you? I said that in the beginning. Yes, they did. And here's why. They lied to you because one, they think most people aren't going to understand it and they just want to give the flashiest headline. And I have friends who work in genetics and stuff that were like, I think you're being a little hard on them. And I was like, I agree, but they lied. So in other aspects, I support it. And why they lied, though, is this gets all over the news. And it's like we functionally, they didn't say that. They said we brought a dire wolf back from de-extinction. Saying we functionally de-extincted something in the headline isn't going to sell it, I guess. People are going to be confused as to what that is. But if they said we resurrected a mythical creature from Game of Thrones that you didn't even know existed, we brought it back from the dead. Here's the puppies howling. And they even said, like, here's the first sounds you've heard in 10,000 years of a dire wolf howling. And they start that on like most of the new stuff. That's, it's egregious to me because that's just a lie. It's a wolf that has a bigger head, like, and like wider shoulders and stuff. They're beautiful. They live. And the other thing they said on Rogan too is they live in this preserve that's had an heightened security for a year or 3 years now. The place has been there, but the wolves are only like a few months old. They're already the size of German shepherds. They're still puppies. They're majestic as hell. They're taking all these pictures of them in the snow, which again, they are an Ice Age species. They're trying to do up the Game of Thrones aspect, I think. They're actually from the lowlands of Southern California, Texas, and Florida, like Louisiana. They weren't exactly like an Arctic species. It's rare to find them that high north. And in fact, the Boneyard Alaska Joker was like, well, we found them up north and the archaeologists say they don't exist up here. And it's like, well, you, how do you know it's a dire wolf? It looks just like a wolf. And they're like, he told me they had genetic testing done. This was before this paper came out. So that's just a lie. If I'm wrong in that, don't sue me, please. But like, if I'm wrong in that, do let me know. But I believe that's a lie. He's just saying we have dire wolves and he's trying to, you know, do the whole anti-academic angle to get on Rogan and all that. Anyway, I think this is, it's not a psyop. It's just such a media push and it's a little bit of a fib to get public interest in this, to get more money thrown into it. Because yes, I would love to see a mammoth in my lifetime. Absolutely. If that mammoth is just an Asian elephant with fur, that's still really cool to me if it's not like a mammoth, you know? So I get the fibbing. They clearly have some tapped in millennial on the team. Every time I see people talking about this, they're young. They're, you know, not old. I think that the version of old white dudes as scientists is kind of like not in vogue anymore. So having like young people and like a, you know, a woman with short hair on the news and like, not that that matters, but then having all these young influencers and stuff talk about it. It's just, it's very clearly they have a lot of money and they understand marketing and they know what they're doing. And I think this media push the other day was insanely successful and I gotta respect it. They did an amazing job throwing this all over the place. And then like my uncle, my dad, some other people sent me this stuff and like, have you seen this? Blah, blah, blah. And then when I was like, even commenting that, no, this isn't the case. Their PR team is so good that like other people were defending them being like, you don't know what you're talking about. It's 100% a direwolf. And I'm like, it's literally 100% a wolf. It just has some direwolf genes activated in it that they're similar. You know, like I could go on all day about how it's wrong, but I will say they lied to you. Colossal Biosciences lied to you. They did not de-extinct the direwolf. They functionally de-extincted one based on their definition of functional de-extinction. And they said that to me in the comment when they responded to me. So is Colossal Biosciences lying to you about resurrecting the direwolf? Yes. Here's why. They didn't resurrect an extinct direwolf. They genetically modified a modern wolf to have direwolf-like traits that they extracted from direwolf fossils. They found out what those genes looked like, activated them in the modern wolves, and are now saying that they functionally de-extincted direwolves because these things look and act and appear like direwolves did. And of course, speciation is its own debate. Like, what is species? Darwin argued this, Linnaeus argued this, Aristotle argued this, I argue this, every scientist argues this. The Ben Lamb from Colossal Biosciences was on Rogan talking about this, and I agree with him. Scientists don't agree on species. It's a very complicated topic. So what they did was use that and say like, yeah, but we can't really define species. So this wolf is genetically modified to look like a direwolf and act like one. So therefore it's a direwolf. Just like when they do the mammoth, is the mammoth going to be a mammoth? No, it's going to be an Asian elephant with hair, you know, genetically modified genes to accentuate the hair and make it a little bigger, I think. And that will be a functionally de-extincted mammoth. It's not, it's just an Asian elephant with hair. So do I think the company should go under? No, I think it's a really cool company. They brought back the Red Wolf clones. I think that's amazing. I would actually put money into that myself. I think that's a wonderful thing to do. Is it weird that they lied and said that they de-extincted a direwolf and that's all over the news and there's this huge media push behind it? Yeah, that's weird. I don't like that. It's not, there's no integrity in that, but I understand it. It's a good marketing technique and it worked on you. That's what I'll say. I think the company's cool. I think Ben Lamb, for a billionaire investor, seems to be a cool guy. He knows what he's talking about. I think he wants to do the right thing. They also know how to do the right thing, marketing wise, and hire this team to put out this giant PR push. They are backed by the CIA. They are backed by other billionaires. There's going to be some financial stake in this. What can you do? It's capitalism. So that's it. Yes, they lied to you. It's not a de-extincted direwolf. It's a genetically modified wolf. And I guess with that, I think we're out. Please rate and review the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. If you're watching here on YouTube, please like and subscribe and leave a comment. And again, to leave you with this, please comment this on YouTube or Spotify where you can comment. But if you're just listening, I'm going to leave you with this. Is it morally wrong to have lied about this and fibbed the truth a bit and stretched it to say they de-extincted Neanderthals? Or fit to say that they, right. I could have a baby right now, hold it up to the camera and say, I'm doing my part to fight Neanderthal de-extinction or to fight Neanderthal extinction. That's like what they did. Is that wrong? I don't know. It's for a better cause, I think, for fixing this stuff. And then people are going to argue like, well, why don't you save species that are already going extinct? And it's like, well, I agree. I agree with that, but I also hold space and agree with them being like direwolves are flashy. They're cool. It's going to get the huge media hype. The Game of Thrones crowd, people are familiar with that. They don't really care about extinct porpoises in the Amazon. You know, I think it's a brilliant marketing strategy and I can't blame them. So is that wrong though? Do you think it's a direwolf? Do you think I'm wrong? Is it a direwolf? Is it not a wolf? I don't know. Let me know what you think. And thank you for listening. Have a good one. Misconception to hell deep.
you want to hear? Why can't you see that the truth will set you free? Expose this mortar myth with me.
The Archaeology Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. And our chief editor is Rachel Roden. The Archaeology Podcast Network was co-founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle in 2014 and is part of Cultural Media and DigTech LLC.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.